¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Kindly state your name.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys are pretty darn dope.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
What?
A Cow Media station.
Are we on the air?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Based on the independent investigation, I want to state clearly that we believe Urban Meyer did not and does not condone domestic abuse. However, he did fail to take sufficient management action regarding Zach Smith, and he was not as complete and accurate at Media Day, and didn't uphold the high standards and values of the university on that day. Therefore, Urban Meyer is suspended through September 2nd, 2018, and for the games on September 1st, 8th, and 15th. Meyer will forego pay for that period of time. In addition, Athletics Director Gene Smith also failed to take sufficient action in relation to Zach Smith's misconduct and did not exhibit the leadership we expect in his role as overseeing the Department of Athletics, including the football program. As a result, Gene Smith is suspended without pay from August 31st to September 16th, 2018.
That was the voice of Ohio State President Michael Drake in making the announcement for the first time of the suspensions that would be handed down to Gene Smith and Urban Meyer, as you heard. I do want to make a correction that it was not Braxton Miller, he now of the Texans, but Terrell Pryor. Thank you, Juggalo Trey. Your value is already showing. In catching me on that one, on my rant. But nonetheless, I mean, guys have done less and got punished more than what Urban Meyer got.
Here's what's interesting is he's at the very beginning of that. Do you still have the audio, Nick? The very, very beginning of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you just play the very first part?
Based on the independent investigation, I want to state clearly that we believe Urban Meyer did not and does not condone domestic abuse.
Okay. Then they go on to say, basically, without saying it, but he put winning above domestic abuse. Because that's if you're saying, and I don't think anyone is on here saying that he condones it necessarily. What you're seeing is that he put winning football games and winning the recruiting battles above domestic violence. And that's what's frustrating for me, is that you got 3-game suspension for that. When you're suspending these kids, like you mentioned in the last segment, 4 games and more for making money off their autograph. It's my autograph. It's my name. And I can't make money off of it. It's just ridiculous. But I just found that to be really interesting that they lead with, look, we've investigated and we don't think he condones domestic violence. Yeah, duh. I don't think anybody would come out and say, oh, Urban Meyer loves it when people beat their wives. I mean, that would be stupid. But the fact is, what they didn't admit is, and they skirted around saying it, he put winning above domestic violence. That's the disgraceful
part. Winning above everything else, period. Yeah.
For a while, too. It's not just at Ohio State. He's done this at Florida. I think he had 31 arrests, and we all know how fantastic of a human being Aaron Hernandez was before he killed himself. He was just a great person. How many names? I think it was 30. The big names. One, Janoris Jenkins. Janoris Jenkins was a big one. He left, ended up with Will Muschamp, got arrested 2 more times following it, and then literally had the nerve to say, if Urban Meyer was my coach, I'd still be playing. He knows what it takes to win.
The linebacker that's in the ballsy NFL that came out and said, I couldn't take it anymore. I suspended myself because I kept telling them about all the different ways that I was violating the program's rules, breaking the law, going off the rails, and they kept saying, okay, we'll hold you out for a series.
Carlos Hyde, he allegedly struck a woman. He's been in the NFL for how long? He's been under Urban Meyer. I mean, and he's been tied to this type of violence before. I mean, not necessarily Urban Meyer, but the players that play for him. So he's not necessarily
squeaky
new
clean
to this type of this situation.
This gets to the crux of exactly what Barry's saying. He set one precedent. He set one pattern throughout his entire career, and that is winning above all else.
Yep. We got this text from Deacon. Guys, on Urban Meyer, I have a question. When do we stop referring to lies as lies? I mean, Meyer, Briles, all of them, when they got caught in a lie, it's always, I failed to be accurate. I did not meet the standards of truthfulness expected of me. Why does no one use the word lie anymore?
I said it in the first segment.
It's a great point.
Yeah. Just admit you lied. You lied. Stop. And here's the other thing. Buckeye Nation. Kiss my ass, Buckeye Nation. Talk about the fans. Talking about college football. Talking about people in general. That's who you let down. You let down an entire society, an entire fan base of college football. You let down so many people. But if I heard one of those two ass clowns on the stage one more time go, Buckeye Nation, I just want to say I'm sorry, Buckeye Nation. I mean, shut the hell up with Buckeye Nation. I mean, it's bigger than that.
Ben the Skeleton said, and remember, the same university fired Tressel for those players getting tattoos for their gear. He got fired for that. And Urban Liar, not Meyer, get it?
Good See point. What he yeah, did I there? Saw that. I like
Urban
that,
Liar
Ben.
Got 3 games only, which is strange. Indeed it is, Ben. This is from Big G. Does anyone else feel like all of the defense of Urban Meyer takes away from the victim here? The platform was there to bring light to a tough issue, and I feel like from the top down, they failed. The Buckeyes can fire Tressel, but Meyer gets off scot-free. Thanks, guys. Big G. Again, that's always seems to be the case, is that what gets taken away from it, what gets ignored in this, is the victim and the issue. I mean, no, we're talking about Urban Meyer. We're talking about, did the punishment fit the crime and this, that, and the other. But we're not discussing domestic abuse, and we're not discussing the cover-ups and how men enable men enable men. Or we look the other way. If your buddy comes in and is like, dude, I got drunk last night, punched my wife. Are you turning in your buddy? Or are you looking the other way like, well, don't
Muschamp
do that again.
Isn't.
Which brings me to this text. My wife was telling me about her coworker who was getting verbally abused, possibly even physically. I haven't seen anything myself, but I want to say something about it. My wife is torn about what to do because her coworker insists that it isn't that bad. I want to help out and get her coworker out of that situation, but I have no concrete evidence myself. Bottom line, it's a lot easier said than done when it comes to reporting these issues. Also, Meyer's garbage for lying about knowing the situation.
Well, if you look at this situation and you might be a person that does the right thing and informs your boss. And you know what? Your boss may not be responsible about it.
Yeah.
So you're better off just going ahead and just letting all the higher-ups know if you have that opportunity. Don't let the situation go on and don't let it elongate.
Wouldn't you rather be wrong
yep.
but doing the right thing
yeah.
than find out later you were right and you didn't?
Yep.
I mean, that's
totally
that's what it all comes down to, right? I mean, it's
due
just
due diligence, you know? I mean, just sometimes – I mean, I've never really heard of a situation where – Well, I guess people can disagree with me, but transparency is bad, where it backfires for the wrong. I think overall, when you look at the end conclusion, transparency always helps.
Yeah.
And so I would just tell your bosses. I would tell a higher up, a president, a CEO, whatever. I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, they always say the truth will set you free. I mean, the thing that I go back to, too, is Kirk Herbstreit being a Buckeye and saying he expected an emotional, sympathetic and heartfelt Urban Meyer, and he didn't get it.
He got a robot.
Yeah, he expected Urban Meyer to cry, he said. I didn't expect Urban Meyer to cry, but if you're going to stay away from mentioning Courtney Smith in your opening remarks, when you're asked point blank about it and put on the spot to personally, what do you say to Courtney Smith, and you skirt that and say, I'm sorry for everyone in this situation. I have sympathy for everyone involved. I'm sorry we're all in this situation. You just showed what a cold, heartless piece of garbage you are.
Larry O said, according to the Urban Meyer situation, what's done in the dark will come to light. Yeah, he said, best radio trio in the nation. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate
so Larry's
that, Larry.
A very smart man.
Larry, you come back anytime.
Absolutely.
Just to play devil's advocate, though.
No!
What are you doing now, Nick?
We just got called the best trio. Don't but make it, this a duo.
Well, not that.
With your dumb, stupid take.
Well, but we're not, actually
but
usual
the part
suspects,
that
2.5.
The fact that we, I'm not, I feel like Zach Smith is a bad person. And I feel like he did it. I don't have proof, but I feel like he did it. But the fact that she's allegedly a victim, does that change anything for you guys in terms of the reason why he stayed away from mentioning Courtney Smith in the press conference? Does that help it in any way, shape, or form?
No.
Because at the end of the day, technically, she's allegedly a victim, not officially a victim. Or is she officially a victim?
But think about this, Nick. Even if you don't believe...
Is her name mentioned in the documents?
I think so, yeah.
Even point there, and here's the
they're
other
thing. They're
made public. Even if you want to believe what they're trying to convince you of, which is the pictures that she texted were staged, okay? That was at Ohio State. Let's go back to Florida. Let's go to 2009 when there was a domestic abuse charge on him with the very same woman.
Which I thought was a very good question by one of the reporters. You know, he asked the president, is there a better hiring practice that y'all need to enforce?
Right.
Because you brought Zach Smith over to Ohio State in 2012 following the 2009 incident. So the guy clearly has some behavior issues.
I guess that's part of the memory loss, too, where you knew about it in 2009, but you came to Ohio State and hired this guy and selectively forgot to tell your higher-ups that this guy had a bit of a reputation.
Real quick, though, I want to go back. Are you saying someone's suggesting that she fabricated the text messages?
There have been people that have implied that she is trying to get back at Meyer, the program, and her husband all at the same time by...
Well, when her own mom said that, it didn't make her look
good.
And
that was part of it as
it
well.
It didn't make her look good.
Her
own mom
had the story that her mom had said that
kind
of
defended Zach Smith and
revenge.
Said that he was trying to remove himself from a situation and that she was just trying to make a bad situation worse. It's basically what she kind of said.
I mean, it's a two-part answer. If she did that, ooh, boy, you talk about... Because it's one of those situations where, just like what the texter said, if someone presents you with something, you almost feel like you have to assume that it's true and err on the side of caution and assume that this is going on as opposed to, she's probably making that up. It's unfortunate that we live in that world, but boy, if she did that.
But Barry, that is what they're saying about the Ohio State incidents. You go back to
Gainesville. I'm just saying specifically, about the domestic violence. I mean, if because that's where this started with, you know, her and the conversation with Urban Meyer's wife. So, wow. I that's the first I've heard of it being fabricated or it, but how much of that is coming from his defense lawyers and all of that as well. It's ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly.
No doubt. Are we going to continue
to move
on?
And she is mentioned in the document, by the way. I searched it for Courtney Smith, and she is mentioned. So that's a public document. So, yeah, I think you could mention her.
Reminder, 2:30, Sigmund Bloom, if you guys are getting ready for your fantasy football drafts or you've already drafted and you're trying to get some sleepers and some information that might help you lead into your season, he'll be joining us every Thursday, 2:30, including this week. So get your fantasy football questions ready. Send them via text, via Twitter, and, of course, right before we get him on the show, we'll have you call in if you want to ask him yourself. So that's coming up at 2:30. Much more coming up on the show. We don't want you to go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, one segment to go before Sigmund Bloom joins the show. He'll be talking fantasy football with us. If you've got questions for him, hit us up. Do that via text, via Twitter, and of course, we'll open up the phone lines right before we call him so that you guys can get in and get your questions out.
A couple things. Lauren Pope tweeted something that I want to make sure we get out because we just talked about the fact that no one ever – the real issue here always gets buried and the victims tend to not get the attention that they probably need and deserve. But she said something. She said, FYI, pushing for abuse victims to get out of the situation – can cause them to further alienate themselves. It's better to let them know sincerely you are always there to listen and or help whenever they are ready. This from a former domestic violence counselor. So apparently Lauren Pope was a domestic violence counselor. So it's a great point. And it's one of those things where you want, because we had the text earlier where somebody saying, I don't know what to do. Well, there's an answer, not maybe the answer, but an answer from a domestic violence counselor, a former domestic violence counselor.
And I think
thank
that's
you,
fair.
Lauren,
can
for
I
that.
Ask a question on that?
Sure.
Just quickly in hearing that, because it makes a lot of sense. But what's the difference between that and just reporting to someone that something's going on? So instead of pushing the victim to get out, at least making the proper people, the right people, aware of what's going on. Is there a difference? I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be the one to answer that. This is not a field of expertise that I have. If Lauren wants to
tweet out
an
answer. Yeah, I was going to say, Lauren or others that have an insight on it, it would be appreciated.
Yeah. A couple more texts from randomness, too. So somebody said about Ohio State, what about the players? Do you think the players have enough respect for women to leave the program? No, because why would they, though? I mean, I don't understand that. I think the two are not related in any way, shape, or form.
I think the most of them really want a career and they want to do well. And I know that sounds bad.
Like somebody at Gal is accused of that. Are we quitting our job because of that? They're not related. I think it's not fair to the players to assume that they would do that or expect them to do that either.
Let me give you the other Buckeyes perspective, because I mentioned how Herb Street was very critical and very honest about what went down. They asked Joey Galloway that question. He's like, no, they're not worried about it. It's all about football. They're just back to practice today. There's going to be practice. It's all about football. That's BS to me. In the back of their heads, somewhere in their mind, don't tell me when they're stretching and when they're all sitting on the side and in between drills and scrimmages. Don't tell me that guys aren't talking about it. Guys aren't a little bit concerned about it. Guys have it on their mind. I know it's all about football when you're on the field practicing, but even then, it's naive to think that they're not aware, talking about it, and some more than others deeply concerned about it.
It probably would have been better for him to preface it by saying, you know, my heart goes out to the families and the victims or victims, but we're going to do the best that we can to salvage the rest of the season, make it as normal as possible. But I guess there's no nice way of coming off that. Like when you say that, you just come off as a guy that doesn't care about the victim. And I think that's a problem, but it does remind me, like you bring a good point up, just because you're associated with a particular company, it doesn't mean you should stop or get fired or separate yourself from that because it's just not fair. There's too many people. It reminds me of this guy who worked for a company as a CFO. He was making $200,000 a year. He was great. And then the Chick-fil-A, either the CEO or the president, he took a stance against gay marriage.
Uh-huh.
And so he goes through the drive-thru, videotapes the girl that's ordering his food, and berates her for working for Chick-fil-A because the CEO or the president or whoever it was took a stance against gay marriage. And you should be ashamed for working for Chick-fil-A because of the stance that the CEO took. And he ended up losing his job because of the video that he published. Not only did he use that CFO gig, he got another CFO gig for 2 weeks. When they learned about the video, he got fired again. Now he lives on food stamps.
Wow.
And it's a true story.
Yeah.
So I don't think you should separate yourself just because you're a part of a company or an organization or a program or a franchise that made a mistake, because it just doesn't make sense to do so.
No, you can't. Yeah. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Like it's just because Urban Meyer and the rest of the higher ups messed up, that you can't put that on the football players. And now, you know, if there were allegations of that, then it's a different with players and abuse, that's different. But this has nothing to do, in my mind, this has nothing to do with the players themselves. A couple more texts. Somebody asked, one more Urban Meyer thing. If you put Urban Meyer side by side with John Granato, they look alike.
I said it last night. I was
sitting there. Trey was adamant. He was thinking about it too. He's like, that's what he thought.
I was watching the press conference last night, and I was like, I said to Lisa kiddingly, why is Granato on the diocese for Ohio State? And then I didn't see Coors Light, and I was like, nah, it's not him.
Yeah. Somebody said, I'm not a big baseball guy. Can you explain September call-ups? So, essentially, on September 1, the rosters expand from 25 to 40-man to a 40-man roster. And anyone that's on that 40-man roster can be called up and used in the majors. At the time, there's before September 1st, there's two rosters. There's the 25-man roster and the 40-man roster. And you'll hear about sometimes he was removed from the 40-man roster or this player was added. And the reason that is because if you're on that 40-man roster and once September 1st rolls around, you can be called up to the bigs and play. And not everyone will necessarily use all 40 spots, but it allows you to expand your rosters. It allows you to use younger players and test them out or add a bat or a pitcher or whatever. But it's different than being on the playoff roster or the trade deadlines that exist. So It just means that you can call up more players from the minor league system if they're on your 40-man roster.
It just means you can find out Derek Fisher can't hit in September as opposed to when you need him most in the middle of the season.
That's right. A couple more texts. I can barely tell the difference between Chano and Jerry's calls. Did Jerry donate something to eyebrow research? That was all you, Mike, taking shots at Shocker. Jerry and Chano.
Hey-ho!
Last text. Barry's voice would be perfect for a talking toaster in a Pixar movie. The hell does that even mean? A talking toaster.
I'm just thinking about what do you got, toast in there or Eggos?
One, I'm flattered that you think I would be a movie star. I feel like you're giving me way too much credit. What the hell was that for?
I was just letting everybody know that that's not what he was doing. He wasn't giving you that credit.
I mean, he said I should be in a Pixar movie. Why are you taking this moment from me?
Why do you think?
Man, what a jerk.
I mean, you tell the world the guy French kisses a dog, and you don't expect that there's going to be retribution?
I didn't say French kissed. I said open mouth kissed.
You think I can fit this in my mouth?
Oh, someone's been doing a little work on the side.
Someone is
I'm a little salty. Yeah.
Yep.
Someone is now firing back. Boy, you wield a mighty sword there. You do indeed. Let's do this giveaway before we go to the break. Because then what I want to do is I want to do the giveaway, and then we'll clear the line so that people can call in while we're at break and get ready for Sigmund Bloom. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. So if you are, you know, we love to give stuff away. I've got a pair of tickets to the first college football game in Houston.
In 1962, no. Down next to high no. fans.
I'm just reading. Win a pair of tickets to the first college football game in Houston. Rice versus Prairie View A&M Saturday at 6 p.m. That's August 25th. If you're calendar challenged, get to the game early and enjoy the local craft brew festival and tailgate alley with sampling options from Carbox, St. Arnold, Eighth Wonder, Buffalo Bayou, and City Acre. Game tickets are $25 and include access to the festival. Plus, young professionals age 30 and under can subscribe to the all-new OW Access Ticket subscription plan for just $10 a month. Get yours today at riceowls.com/tickets or be caller number 5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Caller 5, you win a pair of tickets to the first college football game in Houston. I hope they're including a time machine. I think that what they meant is the first college football game of the year in Houston. So you're not going to win a time machine. You're only going to win tickets for this year. Okay?
Now, what, really?
Yeah. So once we get the 5 winner or caller number 5, which it looks like we have already, have them clear the board. And guys, up next is Sigmund Bloom. So if you have fantasy questions, you can text the show 713-780-3776. You can text your questions. I'll mark them and then I'll ask them to Sigmund. Or you can go ahead and get on the phone now. When you call in, just say, hey, I want to talk fantasy in the next segment. And you can wait on hold through the break and make sure that we get to your question. 713-780-3776. Sigmund Bloom will join us next.
There you have it. That and more as we get to the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Nick, take it. Okay. 90 in the books, 90 still to go on the big show. It is the usual suspects. You know how we do it on a Thursday. We have your best interests at heart. We know you're trying to make some cash and have some fun with some fantasy football. Therefore, our man Sigmund Bloom is going to join us every Thursday throughout the NFL season, as well as the preseason, And he joined us previously. He's going to join us right now. He'll be on the show. If you want to join us and get questions for him, 713-780-3776. Already getting text messages as well to that number that we can get questions on a rapid fire for Sigmund. And, of course, you can tweet us as well. We'll try and get those in throughout the segment. Without further ado, Sigmund, welcome back. Always good to talk to you. I know you're crazy this time of year, so we appreciate you stopping by.
Oh, it's good to come by, and I would say that your enjoyment level of fantasy football is better if you focus more on having fun and less on making money.
Well, I'm out. I gotta forfeit my two teams then. I'm out.
I wanted to ask you last week, Sigmund, how many leagues are you in?
Oh, too many. I mean, maybe 15 teams or so that I manage during the season. But
how many?
I'm sorry, 15?
15 or so of various formats and dynasty and IDP leagues and redraft leagues, just because it allows me to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on in those leagues for waiver wire runs, for tough lineup decisions and things like that.
Do you have a preference? Like, do you prefer your league, like a daily versus a team league, like a weekly? Or
sure.
What about drafting versus auction?
Well, auctions are fantastic, but you need all committed owners to really make an auction the best. I don't do a lot of auctions because they're also very time-consuming. My favorite kind of league is a league with 16 teams and, say, 53-man rosters, and you start a full defense, and every player that is even on an active roster, you're evaluating to see whether they're worth holding, to see if something's going to come to fruition. Basically, an excuse to obsess about the NFL because I'm going to do it anyway.
Wow. 53, man, we definitely have the right guy doing this.
Yeah.
How much time in a week with 15 teams?
Well, I usually actually put time in my schedule for the waiver wire, for setting lineups. It generally flows pretty well with the work I'm doing, recording podcasts, doing radio spots, and writing. And maybe I spend, honestly, a half an hour or an hour, two or three days during the week managing my teams, and again on Sunday, because usually the work that I do makes the moves just automatic because I've honed what my actions are going to be based on giving advice to other people.
Wow. Nice. All right, well, let's get to it. We've got a call first, so we're going to get to the call first. We always want our callers in. If you want to join, 713-780-3776. If you've got draft questions, or maybe you've already drafted and you're looking at the waiver wire or anything fantasy football related, including daily, you can ask Sigmund, 713-780-3776. Let's go to AKA first. He's got a question for you. AKA, what's up?
Real quick, guys. How you doing, guys? Love the show. Real quick, Sigmund. I can keep two guys. I have Tyreek Hill, Derrick Henry, Garoppolo, and Patrick Mahomes. I can keep two, no PPR, mainly touchdown lead.
Yeah, that's got to be Derrick Henry. He should collect the touchdowns for Tennessee, and Tyreek Hill. And I'm really excited by Tyreek Hill. I'm overreacting to one play. I'm trying to get Tyreek Hill everywhere I can.
Nice. All right, appreciate the call, AKA. On the text line, somebody has a draft question for you. Is Julian Edelman going to be a good pickup even though he's out four games?
I would say err on the side of yes, because we still aren't sure he's going to be the same player he was before his ACL tear. He's on the wrong side of 30 in football terms. However, this Patriots offense doesn't really have much of a wide receiver other than Chris Hogan, so he could easily catch 7 to 10 balls a game, even if it's for only 60 or 70 yards in PPR leagues. That's valuable. I think that Edelman in the 5th, 6th round is fine. And if you still see him there staring at you in the 7th or 8th round, I would go ahead and eat the suspension and hold on to him.
All right. So we asked this last week, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it this week because maybe they weren't listening. But somebody said they're in a 12-team PPR. They have the first overall pick. Now, they threw out three options, but I'm just going to let you tell them who's their first pick in the draft.
It's Gurley. And I'll tell you, after this news on Travis Frederick, the center for the Cowboys, being out indefinitely, I definitely think it's not Ezekiel Elliott. It's not Ezekiel Elliott 2nd or 3rd. I'm not even sure if it's Ezekiel Elliott 4th right now.
Wow. All right, let's go back to the phone line, 713-780-3776, if you want to ask your fantasy questions to Sigmund. Right now we got Clarence on the line. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys? Actually, he just answered my question with the whole how much stock you will put in Zeke Elliott, because he's missing two offensive linemen. So thanks. Appreciate it.
Sigmund, is there ever a time with the value in each league for touchdowns passing that a quarterback ekes into the first round, or is it just one of those deals like you just said, you focus on what most people do, running backs first, then they make sure they get receivers, and then they worry about quarterbacks?
Only in leagues where you start two quarterbacks to change the value of quarterback, it makes it more difficult from a strategy standpoint. So no, and depending on your league, you know, whenever Aaron Rodgers, usually first quarterback, breaks the seal, I think you can still wait. You can still wait until even 15 quarterbacks are taken this year, and I think you can still get by with guys like Alex Smith and Blake Bortles and Andy Dalton this year.
All right, back to the text line. Is Dez Bryant worth drafting?
No, I don't think so. Wherever he lands, he hasn't been with the team for camp or preseason. How is he going to develop chemistry with the quarterback? How is he going to have a big role in the offense? I just don't see it. And then if he is forced into the offense because of an injury, who says that he's going to excel? So I'm not drafting Dez Bryant.
All right, Mark Ingram, where should he be drafted? Which round are you targeting him?
It's a similar question to Julian Edelman, and there's some risk, like with Edelman, not so much that Ingram's coming off an injury, but will Jonathan Williams, who looks like he's going to be the number two back while Ingram was out, and that's not trivial because last year the Saints produced two running back ones. Maybe Jonathan Williams won't be running back one, but in late in your draft he might be worth a pick. And then maybe Ingram, just like Willie Snead, not to the same extent, but he comes back from suspension, you don't find the same role you had before you were suspended. That being said, if Ingram was healthy and not suspended, we would be taking him in the late second round. You can get him in the fifth round now. I like that strategy because you can be lapping the field when he comes back if you can just make up for his absence, even if you have 2-2 for the four games he's out. And taking someone like Jonathan Williams might help you do that.
Segment, everybody's on the Hard Knocks train right now, and they're watching closely. And we saw that Josh Gordon is making his way back. Is that a guy that people need to just keep an eye on, or is that a guy that that people actually need to draft and make sure that they get a hold of?
Well, I won't say they need to, but I'm not going to talk them out of taking him because by his own admission, he wasn't really playing sober early in his career, and he was dominant. Last year, he came back. DeShone Kizer couldn't really find him, but he was getting open at will as he was before, and by all accounts, he's sober again and maybe capable. I think he's 27 or 28. He's capable of playing the best football of his career, which we don't know what that looks like. So I understand taking that risk. It's a fourth or fifth round pick. I'm not usually taking it. I do expect he'll be cleared to play sometime in September. I'm excited. I want to see him stay on the field, but I can't help but wonder the way the NFL's handled this, that if he didn't slip up, if there wasn't something that happened, because if he's had an uneventful offseason, I don't understand why the NFL hasn't cleared him to participate with the team yet.
All right, back to the phone line, 713-780-3776. You still have a couple of minutes if you want to get in and ask Simon Bloom a question. Our phone calls always go to the front. Trevor is on the line right now. Trevor, what's your question for Sigmund?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Very nice. Hey, Sigmund, quick question. I got David Johnson in the third round of the draft. Going forward, how safe of a top pick is he going to be? Do we have any concerns with him this year?
A little bit of concerns just with the quality of the offensive line and Sam Bradford or rookie Josh Rosen as quarterback. But David Johnson in 2016 was actually better than Todd Gurley last year. I have David Johnson as my number two pick, and I think that he's as well equipped as any running back to overcome whatever the surroundings are, so it doesn't worry me that much.
All right, back to the text line. Rodgers is my starter. Would you trade Andrew Luck for Hyde? Need a running back?
Probably. I think that if you wait during the season, if there's a good trade market for quarterbacks during the season, you might be able to get more for Luck, but Hyde has been treated as a starter. I don't think his ADP has really reflected that, so you're getting a starting running back in what could be okay offense, at least a modestly functional, successful offense compared to what we've seen from the Browns in the past. I think that's, given the way people are valuing quarterbacks right now, a decent return.
What do you think of the strategy, though? So if I've got Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, I think most people assume, well, you trade Luck. But what is this? Is there any strategy in keeping Luck and trading Rodgers for a higher-grade running back or receiver?
Yes, and I would even add a wrinkle to it and say that the one question about Luck is that we're not sure how he is going to look right out of the gate. And, you know, Cincinnati at home, at Washington, at Philadelphia, Houston, those might not be the most conducive matchups for him to go up and down the field on a team, and he may have some rust to knock off. Also, the Indy offense has a new coach, you know, new playbook. Maybe they have some kinks to work out. Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers. So you wait, and the third, fourth weekend of the season, the team that is one of the most quarterback-needy teams would be willing to pay a lot more for Aaron Rodgers than they would pay for Andrew Luck. And Luck should level off and be fine after that initial slow period. So that's how I would do it. And I agree that the strategy here is taking Luck at a discount, taking Rodgers at his market price, and then hopefully trading Rodgers for your most needed position whenever you feel like Luck's ready to take over.
But in that situation, Sigmund, just real quick, from a philosophical standpoint as a team owner, if you're going to play Rodgers every week but the bye week, you can't just be paranoid because of a potential injury. You got to go for what can give you the best results on a week-by-week basis, don't you? So you get rid of the second guy, whether it's Rodgers or otherwise, as your first guy, or Luck and whoever on the second guy. You get rid of the second guy to get more that can be in your lineup on a consistent basis. Is that fair?
Yeah, always the bottom line is starting lineup. So it's not, Luck's not going to help you win on the bench. Rodgers isn't going to help you win on the bench. You do a strategy where you take two top 10 quarterbacks because you feel comfortable that you can trade one during the season.
All right, there he is, Sigmund Bloom. He joins us every Thursday at 2:30. I will say this. There's a ton of texts that we didn't get to. There's a ton of tweets that we didn't get to. If you didn't get your questions answered when we're telling you that prior to this segment, to get them in, first come, first serve. So, Sigmund, as always, man, we appreciate you joining
us. Sir.
And we're looking forward to another great fantasy year with you.
Great pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
There he is, Sigmund Bloom. Footballguys.com. I know some folks have already downloaded their draft app. It is absolutely ridiculously good. I use it every year. I plan on using it again. If you have an iPhone or an Android and you're looking for a great tool to help you draft, footballguys.com. Look for the Draft Dominator app. It's amazing.
You doing 15 leagues?
Hell no. I might do three. Okay. But I tell
I'll
you
do
what.
15 like baseball leagues. I ain't doing no 15 NFL teams. Y'all are idiots.
Y'all, I didn't say I'm doing any.
I'm doing.
Slow your roll, tough three. Guy. Fight him, not me.
Seriously, though, get that Draft Dominator app.
There you go.
You should look into it this year.
All right, we've got knee deep in hour number two, so we got a little over an hour left in the big show. Don't go anywhere. Much more coming right around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one segment to go. Excuse me, an hour number two of the three-hour show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. Tomorrow, F Yeah Friday. Barry, this is your Cliff Notes reminder. I will not text you. You do need a comedian tomorrow.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I may have to do a repeat, but it would be a very special repeat.
Is that allowed?
I think you, yeah.
Let's do intern Trey as a comedian.
Oh, my God. I hate you for even suggesting
that. We just had the audio of him in our bullpen when he decides to throw his jokes out to be tested upon by his studio audience.
Roasting people.
God, they're awful. You've been there before. He's like, he'll just throw out a joke, and then based on how we react, he'll be, it's like, oh, you Mike. He'll either go for another one or be like, oh, yeah, that sucked. I'm not.
That wasn't my best effort.
But come on, 115, 215, 315, coming out of break, hearing intern Trey's voice, you wouldn't think that's funny. That'd be hilarious. Get him to read somebody else's stuff and then take credit for it.
Well, I thought you were going to have him
read. He does that anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we busted him for that.
I thought you were going to have him read all 25 pages of the Ohio State document.
That would have been funny.
No.
Actually, it wouldn't have been funny.
No, we're not doing that.
But I mean, I'm saying if you're doing books on tape, if you're driving, can you imagine having a book narrated?
Intern Trey audiobook?
Oh, my God. There would be so many people just driving off bridges. Like, I can't take this guy's voice.
Like, Fred's got his novel, and Fred's putting it all on tape. Can you imagine just having Trey be the narrator?
Jesus Has Left Chicago by Fred Fowler, Chapter 1.
After winning big
That's
at the
name
track,
of it, by the way.
He went into his hotel room, and she sensually decided to kiss him
on
his lips.
Oh, that's a good idea. What? You don't even know. You're like, what?
Well, I asked what. That's why I asked.
What if we got Trey to read romance novels like we did Best Book?
With Best Book?
I mean,
after a sentence, he'd be like, No, I didn't mean that. He didn't really insert. He just said that in the book.
She ran her hand down his hard abs and into his pants, grabbing his man hammer. Like, what?
We should get Trey to read Penthouse for him.
His belt loop. He didn't actually touch anything below the equator.
I know this. You're not going to believe this, but as a UPS driver, one time I met this chick.
Just Trey reading Penthouse for him would be some quality radio. I'm not going to
tell
lie.
You what Brown can do for you.
Oh, my goodness. This
Did you guys
great.
See this? This is crazy.
Okay, what?
So we know all the trials and tribulations thanks to the Kardashians and James Harden with Lamar Odom,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
So Kevin Hart's got this new deal, kind of a spinoff on the LeBron show that's going to be on HBO from the barbershop, where he's going to have people from entertainment and other sports world, and they're going to sit and kick it.
Which, by the way, I saw the preview for the LeBron one, because when you mentioned it, I hadn't seen the preview
yet. I told you about it the other day.
I am really interested
I'm interested
in that.
As well,
I
and I'm that. Going to make sure that I DVR it if I don't see it live. See what I did there? Instead like of going, it. Hey, Barry, text me when that's on and make sure I watch that.
Right, I deserve that.
Kevin Hart is doing one where they're in the cold tub. So it's called, I think it's Cold as Balls.
And is that what it's called?
Yeah, he's calling it Cold as Balls Confession Sessions. All right? And Kevin Hart has Lamar Odom in the first one.
Oh, no.
And they're both sitting in cold tubs in a locker room. And the dialogue goes something like this, where Kevin Hart says, is Lamar Odom fully over the addiction side? And Odom says, yes. And Hart says, how does it make you feel? And Odom says, great, bro. Every day I'm alive. Hart says, every day? Odom says, it's a good day to be alive considering the alternative. Yeah, all my doctors that see me say I'm a walking miracle. I had 12 strokes and 6 heart attacks when I was in a coma in 2015.
What? Yeah, I saw that.
12 strokes, 6 heart attacks while in a coma in 2015 when he was going through all that.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
My only explanation is he's, I guess, blessed to have been in shape before he got into his addiction, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that may have helped him a little bit in terms of surviving. What was it, 6 heart attacks or 12 heart attacks? It was 12 strokes, 6 heart attacks.
12 strokes, 6 heart attacks.
Because he's 38, and I don't... God bless him. I'm glad he's okay.
That's insane.
I don't think any of them came from the Bunny Ranch.
What?
Yeah, I probably
You
know, did.
Remember now, when he was going through all
the
that...
The strokes?
He was... Yeah. The strokes were not coming from the Bunny Ranch when he wouldn't leave.
Right.
Remember they gave him a room and he wouldn't leave?
Yeah, that is true. So, he was like, yeah, I'm getting my own strokes. I had more than 12 strokes at the Bunny Ranch.
You do the Ditka scene redone. I had my 52nd heart attack after she gave me 12 strokes.
Don't bears. Hey, can you check and see if that's our guy?
Yeah, I will.
We have a special treat, hopefully, coming up in the 3
let's
o'clock
do it, let's
hour.
Let's start 3 o'clock hour, yeah.
And yesterday we played some audio from the coach,
I found it. Someone had sent it to us as well, but I had found it on Twitter.
And it's the Little League coach that every time he would visit the mound, he'd be like, hey, I know you're not in high school yet, but your high school coach said you've been cut. Or, well, at least there's soccer season. Or Nick's favorite was, what was it about meatballs in the pocket?
And yeah, put meatballs
in your pockets full of meatballs and put you in a pond full of piranhas.
So look, he's on the line, but we've got about 60 seconds.
Yeah, I know, we can said he we're going to go at 3 o'clock. I'm just telling him to hang
on. All right, cool.
Is he good through the
break? I'm going to ask him right now.
Okay,
I think he is.
Yeah, find out because he sent us a link to his YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's got a pregame speech for the last game of the year. That is absolutely not to be missed. We will have that out of the break, and he's good to hold through the break?
He is. He says he has plenty of time.
You know, Barry, you suck, but with a capital S and a whole lot
of U's. So good. This is going
to
be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And Lawrence, hang in there. I know you want to talk Tiger. We'll get to that as well. So we got 1 hour to go in the big show, 60 minutes on the clock, and the sports mappers are joining us next as well. So fasten your seatbelts for one more hour as we take you home for the ride. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, listen, a couple of people before we go to break. I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to. But a couple of people said that they're having some app issues, like where or some signal issues where, like,
they can only hear in one ear.
Yeah.
One ear on the
download the app. Download the app. You can get the app in the Google Play Store or iTunes. Download the app for that if you're having radio issues. And if you're having app issues, 94.1 is going to join us at 3 o'clock. So there's a tons of different ways that you can catch us, ESPN 97.5, 94.1, and the app. So check them out. All right.
There you go. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects.